Coming to you from the IL Podcast Studio in the Baltimore, Maryland, worldwide headquarters of Inside Lacrosse, it's the D-Fly and Dixie Show, featuring Inside Lacrosse and Big Ten Network analyst Mark Dixon. I'm your host, Dan Flynn. Dixie, let's get it. All right, Dix. Long holiday weekend, thanks to President's Day.
First issue.
Did you have to work yesterday?
I thought this
you
was,
weren't here yesterday, right?
I thought this was going to be the Mark Dixon podcast from here on out, thanks to Tim McGeaney and the Delaware broadcast crew.
He's been reaching out to me on Twitter.
I saw that.
We got to get him on the show.
We should.
He's following a couple teams specifically, and when they come into the news or have some big games, we'll get him on as our first guest, our first real guest, our first call-in guest.
It'll be the first time in two seasons we've had an actual guest. That's good. I've been pining.
I know you have.
Going for that.
Do you think we can get him down in here? Like, where is he? Is he in
I think he's
Baltimore?
Up in, no, he's up in, I believe he's up in New Jersey.
Call in?
Yeah, he can call in. We'll take that call.
Okay. All right, we'll see. All right, Tim.
Why do you have an attitude about it?
Well, he's a Loyola guy, and they kind of stomped us this weekend.
You gotta,
I'm down on Loyola right now.
You got to get out of
that. They played
very
well.
Look, I'm a broadcaster. I'm neutral. I'm Switzerland.
Yeah, I know.
As a Blue Jay.
I think we do a pretty good job, actually, of showing our...
We?
You're a pro. I'm not saying you're not.
You?
No.
What, did you run into Glass Pav and have a good cry on Saturday night?
Is he still there? Glass Pav. I went to D-level and hung out down there and just cried.
Now I know you're full of it with D-level.
No, I think we're fairly impartial, unlike some other podcasts here that definitely do not like Syracuse or Johns Hopkins and make fun of their fans who are going through, had a tough weekend.
Yeah, when's the last time Albany smoked Syracuse that way?
Never.
I think they've only, prior to Saturday's win, they only won one other time in that series. And then you can actually think of a time, I think it was 1999, maybe 2000, it was when John Hawes was the head coach at Hopkins. Loyola played Hopkins on a Friday night on Homewood Field. It was freezing cold, high winds, and Loyola smoked Hopkins. I think that score was maybe like 14-5, something along those lines. So it has happened in the past between Loyola and Hopkins, but it's not something that happens on the regular.
So I had a good time watching lacrosse this weekend. So it started on Friday with the Duke-Denver game, and we'll get into the details of that in a bit. But I like this happy hour lacrosse thing, and I'm excited for the game this weekend. But on Saturday, it was really cool. I was able to catch the UNC-Lehigh game, which went to overtime, and I got to see that. On ESPN, the streaming app, they have a feature where you can put up the four games at a time.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, so you can do a multicast. I put up the Syracuse Albany game on one screen with the volume on that one, and then the UNC Lehigh game on the other, and then you can just easily toggle back to the volume. So if it goes to commercial, you just scroll back and forth. It's awesome, and you can do up to four games. So I'm waiting until there's a really good weekend, and then I had my laptop with the Facebook feed of the Loyola Hopkins game. Really had trouble with that, though. The audio, serious difficulties in the first half, which made it almost unwatchable.
Okay.
It was really, they've cleaned it up and fixed the production in the second half.
Yeah.
But the first half was a real struggle.
I was working on Saturday. I did the Stony Brook Penn State game.
I caught the end of that one.
Good.
Yeah, taped the end.
Sure.
You and Joe B.
Me and Joe B had a good time calling that game. But so I wasn't able to watch anything live on Saturday. I watched some replays over the last couple of days. I caught a little bit of Carolina Lehigh, caught some of Albany Syracuse, and the quality, the picture quality is fantastic on the ACC Extra via the ESPN app. Really.
Yeah, it's really cool to be able to go back and watch those games after the fact that they stay in the streaming app.
Yeah, it's cool. But I'm telling you, like, the visual quality, the high def it's excellent. It really, really is. And big game coming up actually tomorrow. Maryland hosts Penn, and that game will be on BTN Plus. And similarly, the BTN Plus application system.
It's today.
It's Wednesday, February 21st.
So we're recording this on Tuesday.
Do not try to tell me what I know about schedules and things like that, okay?
Well, there are some interesting
That's why
games
it should
tonight.
Be the Mark Dixon podcast. Again, you're wrong. Who's playing today? Tuesday.
High Point in Virginia. There's about eight games. I think that might be the highlight game, in my opinion. I think
Juniors High Point. Roll?
came off of a 16-14 loss to Maryland. They've been close with some pretty good teams.
They have. Put 14 up on Maryland is no small feat.
Yeah, I know.
And they had 8 penalties in that game.
So
High Point did.
You know, Virginia's feeling really good about themselves. They had a win over Drexel.
Yep.
And I don't know. Tuesday's for the hunter, they say. And High Point is
Andy
definitely
Shea
looking
of Yale
for
coined that phrase.
For their win. So let's get into the games from the weekend. We'll start with the game on Friday night where number 3 Denver traveled to number 1 Duke. They had a commanding 12-8 lead, and Duke came back scoring the last 7 goals of the game. So Duke comes away with a 15-12 win. Joe Robertson had 4 goals, a breakout game for him. Gutterding had 3 goals and 3 assists. On the other side, Trevor Baptiste dominated faceoffs, as we thought, and Ethan Walker had 6 goals and 2 assists. But what happened in this? How did they come back?
Your takeaways from this game, you see right away Denver's up by 4 goals entering the fourth quarter with Trevor Baptiste and with the ball control that Denver can demonstrate. And the stick work and the offensive acumen, you figure this game is not over by any stretch of the imagination. But you know, this is a very winnable, should win game for Denver. And Duke just came out and scored 7 goals in the fourth period. Just a great effort and perfect on the clearing game. 14 out of 14. I mean, you look at turnovers. Denver 7 turnovers in the fourth quarter.
You saw this. You watched this?
Yeah, I did. I did. So
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
I think it was 12-10. Denver had a penalty, an unreleasable penalty called on them.
I'm trying to remember if I saw
Baptiste
this part or not.
Baptiste won a faceoff.
Yeah.
Got caught up. Couldn't get help.
Right.
Turns the ball over. Duke goes down and scores.
Right.
It's unreleasable. He wins the next faceoff. Gets it taken away again.
Yeah.
Duke goes down its course. Why didn't Tierney call a timeout? He had 2 timeouts and he didn't call timeout either time when his faceoff guy is running around trying to get rid of the ball and also wearing himself down.
Was he in the box? Got to be in the box. Got to be in the box.
I thought he was one
Coach
time.
Flynn.
I still don't understand it. It just didn't seem to make
two
sense.
Two things.
That's what it was.
All right, 2 things. So that is the benefit of the change in rule a couple years ago. So remember, when you had a man down faceoff, you were allowed to bring an attackman up and put him on the wing to make it a 3-on-3 faceoff. Okay. Now that rule changed a few years ago. I can't remember what site. I think it was 4 years ago. You have to, that attackman can't come back up. So you have a vacant wing. So in essence, it's a 3-on-2, which is the advantage of the team that was offended, the team that has the man up. So Duke played it perfectly. Baptiste got possession and they just swarmed him and they wore him down and they were able to take the ball away. You got to be in the box to call timeout. Mm-hmm. And the box goes sideline to sideline. Teams, especially on the faceoff, they might let, if they're man up, they might let the guy get the faceoff, and then they just double team and they force him. They will not let him in the box, and that's I can't remember. I can't
go
recall.
Back and watch it. That's probably what it was.
I can't recall specifically those plays. So I didn't watch that closely, but I don't
usually question Bill Tierney.
Well,
he probably wasn't in the box. I'll go back and watch it.
Yeah, look, I have to imagine Coach Tierney's calling timeout if the ball's in the box.
Good call.
But you got to be in the box to call timeout. You better not show up at like a summer tournament screaming, timeout, timeout, timeout. And lacrosse is not like basketball. So when a coach calls for a timeout, when they're not allowed to have a timeout, meaning the only time in lacrosse you can call timeout is on a dead ball or when you have possession and the ball is in the box. And you can't call a timeout on a dead ball. Let's say you're coaching white, I'm coaching blue. Your player pushes mine, loose ball push, we're going blue. I can't be like, timeout, timeout. You know, you can't call a timeout after a violation of that nature because you're taking away the quick restart. So you can only call a timeout on dead ball and when your offense gets the ball into the box. So that's a change in the rule.
When did they change that?
That's been a good, it's horrible. I can't remember. I mean, that's been a good 6-8 years.
Okay.
And a sideline to sideline, too. So it's sideline to sideline.
Is the box always sideline to sideline?
So the box, it used to be you had to keep, remember at under 2 minutes you're leading, you had to keep it in the box. The box was the box. Also, to get a timeout, initially you had to be in the box. A lot of referees, the game moves so fast and you might be out of position and the player's in the alley and they're calling for timeout. You might give that timeout and the player's not in the box, quote unquote, but they're down the alley. So they said, you know what, let's just make it, you know, sideline to sideline to include the alleys. But if you call a timeout and you're not entitled to a timeout, it's not like basketball where you get a technical foul. Referees can ignore you. They can ignore you just the same as if you're out of timeouts and you're calling for a timeout. You know, if you're like, timeout, timeout, coach, you're out, coach, you're out. But if the referee is compelled to call the timeout because of a coach, referee might not be, you know, referee might be paying attention to a face-off or defense or a double team or something like that. And if he hears timeout, 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 instinctually might blow the whistle and say, okay, timeout. When it's discovered that the team who called timeout doesn't have any timeouts left, it's just a change of possession. And it can be a 30-second technical violation if you stop an advantage or stop a play or something like that. But it's not like basketball where you call for a timeout at the wrong time or you're out of timeouts and you get assessed a penalty. A lot of people think, you'll hear oftentimes, especially in tournaments, if a team is out of timeouts or they're not outside the, or they're outside the box and it's NCAA rules and teams are calling for a timeout, that's a foul. No, it's not. If the referee ignores it and doesn't call it, we're good.
Yeah, in basketball, famously, Chris Webber
called in the 93 national championship game.
Yep. When Michigan did not have one.
How did you feel about that game? Because you had Michigan against Carolina and you're a big Duke guy. So were you rooting for Michigan?
I'm sure that I was. I don't remember. 25 years ago.
Are you serious? You really don't remember that?
I know I wasn't rooting for North Carolina. Fab Five was cool.
Yeah.
I like the way they played.
Two straight national championship games.
Yeah. So coming away from this game, speaking of Duke, just getting back to this, a big win for them and a great comeback. This team really showed some heart.
Big time. And look, Justin Gutterding was sensational again, 6 points. He's
held well below his average.
Yeah, exactly. He came in averaging, nine points? So did a great job. Joe Robertson's a guy we haven't talked a whole lot about, had 4 goals. Peter Conley, the transfer graduate student from Georgetown, 3 goals and an assist. I was really impressed with Ethan Walker and the way he was shooting the ball.
He was unbelievable.
I mean, that was pretty much lights out. I was traveling at the time.
Yeah, I was texting you.
Oh, that's right. You were texting me. So I was getting updates on Twitter, but not trying to use too much data. You know, I got to figure out the whole data thing when I travel and stuff like that. But so a huge win for Duke. Denver, nothing to hang your head about. I mean, obviously, would have, should have, and could have, and that kind of thing, but it's February, and we've seen Duke drop this game and turn around and win national championships. You know, if you're Denver, you know, I think you realize how athletic this Duke team is. I think the rest of lacrosse was able to see this Duke team live. A lot of people raised their eyebrows when they were the number one preseason team, according to Inside Lacrosse Maverick media poll. You know, what about Maryland? What about Albany? What about Denver? Well, what about them? You know, Duke is the number one team in the country right now, and they're playing like it.
Yeah. Moving on, a local game that we touched on earlier, but Loyola just dominates in the second half. 5-4 at halftime, goes 7-1 in the second half to win 12-5 over previously number 8, Johns Hopkins. Great defensive showing for the Hounds. Jacob Stover, 12 saves and goal, and Foster Huggins, 7 caused turnovers and 3 ground balls. Great game for him. Hopkins had 22 turnovers. And their starting attack of Kyle Maher, Cole Williams, and Shaq Stanwyck only got 6 shots in this game.
Yeah.
6 shots total. It's astounding.
I think first and foremost, the takeaway from this is Loyola's defense is really good. We got a sense of it against Virginia. They were leading. They coughed up that advantage and ultimately lost the game in overtime. A great individual effort by Docs Aiken, but I was more, instead of being more impressed with Docs Aiken, I was more disappointed in the Loyola defense.
Yeah, you mentioned that. He ran right through
it. Just kind of swam right through the whole defense. So Loyola's defense is very, very good. In a day where Pat Spencer was, quote-unquote, held to 1 goal and 3 assists, and I think two of the assists were on extra man. So Patrick Foley did a great job on him for Hopkins. But this Loyola team is, and they got great midfield scoring.
Yeah, 7 goals from their starting midfield.
7 goals. And in the first week, they didn't get, I know I picked on Alex McGovern in particular. McGovern came back with, I think, 2 goals. This weekend. So great effort by him. And just a better job overall by Loyola. They out-hustled Hopkins. That's apparent when you look at the fact that face-offs were... Hopkins won 14 out of the 20 faceoffs and got outground balled 28-23. You should never get outground balled when you win the faceoff battle that much. And that just shows you the 50-50 ground balls that were available outside of the faceoff were controlled and dominated by Loyola.
Plus, some that weren't necessarily ground balls, but just interceptions.
Right.
Foster Huggins just picked off passes.
Yeah.
And Hopkins didn't help by just throwing the ball away. They had offsides penalties. It just did.
It was a bad day. It was a sloppy day. You know, the potent man up was 0-for-5. So they had opportunities one man up. Loyola was 2-for-6. So.
There were man ups where Hopkins didn't get a shot. Didn't take a shot.
Right. Yeah.
You know, that can't happen. You got to take advantage of man advantage.
So it was a dominant effort by Loyola, and it's one of those things where you're saying to yourself, was Hopkins that bad or was Loyola that good? And it's really difficult to tell this early in the season.
Probably somewhere in the middle.
Absolutely, yeah. The truth lies in the middle.
Yeah. A lot of lacrosse left to play. One game, though, that left one entire fan base scratching their head, Dix. A game that was much anticipated throughout the entire offseason. We finally got to see the Dane train, previously number 4 Albany, goes into the dome and just crushed number 7 Syracuse, 15-3. I don't think you could call it Tahoka Nanacoke's coming out party, but it was his first college game. And he lived up to the hype with 5 goals. My man at the faceoff dot. T.D. Erlin, 16 of 21, completely dominating faceoffs. Connor Fields, 2 goals, 2 assists. And Jacob Patterson, 4 goals for the Dane train.
Yep. And I think that when you look at this game, it started out slow.
Yeah, it was 2-1 at the end of the first quarter.
2-1 at the end of the first quarter. Syracuse actually got the first goal of the game. It was an extra man score by Jamie Trimboli. And Syracuse came into this game feeling pretty good about themselves. They blitzed Binghamton the week before, 21-4 in the dome. Look, everybody and their mother was predicting that Albany was going to win this game. But the fashion with which they did it, ridiculous. And a big reason why the score was only 2-1 at the end of the first quarter was Dom Madonna in goal for Syracuse made 4 saves. And they were even in this game at halftime. I mean, he had 9 saves in the first 30 minutes of action to keep it close. But a 7 goal third quarter, Albany just whooped them. And Nanacoke is such a handful. He ended up, I think he took 15 shots in this game. But he just bulls his way to the goal. He's so powerful. He's so aggressive and so creative. I mean, you try to think about a player with that combination of size and skill. It's almost... He dodges a lot like a Tom Marichek. Like Marichek used to body in on you and like kind of kayak his way in. Like Nanacoke just like lowers his shoulder and just pulls his way to the goal. But that's not the only game in town. When you talk about, you know, we're talking about Nanacoke. We haven't even mentioned Connor Fields yet. The guy's a Touraton finalist a year ago and is in contention for that this year as well. But when you look at their midfielders, I thought they just, you know, McClancy did a really good job. You know, Jacob Patterson, he's got that lefty laser. He's a shooting motion very similar to Mack O'Keefe of Penn State. That underhand lefty is so good. The Bergmaster brothers, I mean, Albany's deep, and they're good. And J.D. Colarusso, their goalie, is very, very good. They face off well.
They play loose and with a lot of confidence.
They do. And oftentimes that style, their talent didn't fit that style. If you know what I mean, like the talent level in Albany right now just is off the charts. It really is. And, you know, what didn't help Syracuse also was they went 5 out of 22 on faceoff, so they really couldn't catch their breath because Erlin was so dominant. And then 6 penalties, a bunch of which came late, and it was just frustration on the Syracuse Orange part. But, if you're Syracuse, it doesn't get any easier. You got Army coming in this weekend. But everybody thought that this was going to be, you know, it was going to be a win for Albany, but they didn't figure it was going to be a blitzkrieg like this.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I didn't watch much of the fourth quarter. I wasn't paying attention to it.
Yeah, I watched the first half, and I watched the beginning of the third quarter, and you're like, okay, and once Albany got in a groove.
I kept it at basketball. I did my multicast on ESPN.
The multicast.
And I had...
This is on your television?
Yeah.
See, I got to... What do you stream it through?
Apple TV on the ESPN app. I put a basketball game up. And
so you cut the cord then, basically, is what you're saying. You don't have cable.
No, I still have all the...
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. I used to be able to get the ESPN 3 or watch ESPN through my Xbox.
You can still do that.
Can you still do it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
All right, I got to look at that. Okay. I was traveling anyway, so I wasn't really home to sit down and watch it.
Let's do a couple drive-bys here. Hofstra, we get to see them for the first time. They go out to Ohio State, and Ohio State just grinds out another win like they do. They win 9-7. Any thoughts on this one?
They were up big, and Hofstra made a run, so they put it together offensively. But Ohio State now is 22-23-0 all time at the Woody Hayes Indoor Athletic Center. So great win for Ohio State, keeping it going. I think they're up to, you know, they're up pretty close to the top five, top six in the country in terms of all the voting polls. So good job by Ohio State.
North Carolina escapes Lehigh 12-11 in overtime. Their second straight overtime win over a non-top 20 team. And Will Perry hits and notches the game winner. I caught the end of this one. Lehigh had their chances to win this in regulation.
Right.
And just couldn't get the, you know, guy. I think he hit the top of the pipe, went over the goal. It'll be very, this is a desperation game, although Carolina is undefeated, this Friday afternoon, Friday evening at Homewood Field, and we'll get to that game later, but
I don't think it's desperation. Why? Desperation for who?
I think both teams need to win this game. Well, yeah, I think they have something to prove.
I don't disagree with that, but Carolina's 3-0. I mean, they've done it dangerously, and they've done it in a fashion that is not conducive. I mean, I talked about this. You can't continue to win games 15-14, 17-16 and expect to win a national championship, but they are 3-0. I wouldn't say it's desperation for Carolina. I wouldn't say it's desperation for Hopkins either.
I would like to see each team play with that kind of intensity. I think that they will.
Yeah.
I think they will.
But I think it's hard. I mean, yeah, you could look at it as a situation of they could be staring at each other sitting on the bubble come Selection Sunday, and a win over the other would definitely go a long way. So I agree with that sentiment, but with so much lacrosse left to be played, you don't want to throw your arms up and we have to win this game because we anticipate losing this game. Yeah. You know what I mean?
No, so, I'm with you.
I don't know if desperation is the urgency.
Urgency.
I can see urgency. I don't know about desperation.
Urgency. Yeah, maybe that urgency is probably a better word.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to Mark Dixon Podcast.
Number 15, Villanova, with a surprising 10-9 overtime win over number 5 Yale in Yale's first outing of the year.
Yeah, Yale, clear favorite in the Ivy League, but they lose, and they weren't alone. Brown lost to Quinnipiac. Cornell lost to Colgate. Princeton took
Colgate's 2-0. Colgate's off to a good start.
They are. 3-0, 4-0.
3-0.
The Raiders. Mike Murphy might have this could be like a sneaky good team up in Hamilton this year, and we've seen that from Colgate in the past. Princeton took 2 overtimes to beat Monmouth. Penn beat Michigan 12-9. But, yeah, Yale, Cornell, and Brown all go down in their first games of the season. And Villanova just continues to grind out games. Impressed with Danny Seibel. He had 4 goals. And they did this with a backup netminder. So Matt Barrett is out with a leg injury. So they had their backup, Nick Testa, stepped in and played very well. 11 saves, including 3 in the third quarter. He didn't make any saves in the fourth quarter. And Villanova still outscored Yale 3-1 in that stanza. So good job by Villanova. And these guys are for real. The Wildcats are for real. 7-point game for Ben Reeves, by the way, too. And he needs some help. And they also miss Aiden Hines on defense. He's out for Yale. He's out for Yale. He's developed into their number one cover guy. And obviously he was missed terribly.
Another top 20 matchup. Number 11, Rutgers, went up to Army West Point, and the Cadets come away with a 9-7 win over Rutgers.
Huge win for Army. We talked last week about this being a tone setter for each team's season, and Army, I think in 1-2 goal games last year, were 6-0, something like that. So close games are nothing new to the Black Knights. I love their balance. 7 different guys scored for Army, and they're facing off really, really well. That was I did the preview for them for Inside Lacrosse in the preseason, and the one thing that was glaring was Dan Graber, their graduated faceoff man, took like 95% of the faceoffs. And but they're facing off right around like 57-58%, which is great. And it beat a Rutgers team that's been highly touted. So a huge win for Army. That's a game that could go a long way, Selection Sunday. If Rutgers doesn't win the Big Ten, and if Army doesn't win the Patriot, looking at those at-large bursts. And, Rutgers had that in their back pocket last year. Marquette. Marquette's been the one to spoil everybody's party the last couple of seasons. You know, taking that AQ from the Big East, pulling upsets in the Big East tournament.
Right before Dix gave his commentary on the Rutgers Army West Point game, you may have heard him take a sip of delicious Trimino.
Did you hear that?
Protein infused water. People are rewinding right now just to hear that.
Okay.
Trimino has 7 grams of whey protein and essential B vitamins to fuel your game. No sugars, no carbs, and only 28 calories, which is hard to believe when you taste how good it is. Trimino is ideal before, during, or after your workout, and it tastes great. Comes in 7 delicious flavors, including 3 new ones, which I've had all of them. Citrus, orchard, and raspberry limeade. I like them all. The orchard one, I thought it was apple, as we both guessed. Tasted more like pear, which was delightful. You don't get much pear-flavored stuff.
It was delightful.
And I was surprised. Look on the bottle, and it has a little picture of some apples.
Right.
But there's a pear in there, too. And that's
what
it tastes
like. There's a pear in there.
It was good. You can grab them at CVS or online at Amazon.com. Trimino increases energy and endurance and even curbs your appetite. Play hard, not hungry. Protein has never tasted so good. So what do you got there?
I've got mixed berry today. I've tried orchard, raspberry lime, and now the mixed berry. I like them all. I think the orchard so far is my favorite. I don't think I tasted pear, but I wasn't really looking for it. But maybe, I don't know. Is there a pear?
I have a very advanced palate.
Good for you.
Which makes me enjoy some of the finer things in life.
Congratulations.
So I'm drinking the coconut pineapple.
And what does it taste like? Strawberry?
It tastes like coconut pineapple.
Okay.
You know what it tastes like? It tastes like a Caribbean island and a vacation. Hammock and a warm breeze is what it tastes like, Dix.
And you're at Sandy Point right now with that? Is that where that tastes like? Is that your beach? Is that your happy place?
Yeah, during the polar bear plunge.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
I can see you down there.
It tastes like a tropical breeze.
Good for you.
Yeah, no, it's good.
Where's the last tropical place you went to?
Somewhere in the Caribbean. Well,
Elkridge?
Yeah, Caribbean. Okay. Hale Thorpe. going to 12 days.
Where are you going?
I told you. Family is taking a Caribbean cruise.
You told me you were going away with the family, but you didn't tell me you were taking a Caribbean cruise.
Yeah, so I don't know what we're going to do with this podcast.
Oh, my God.
Because I will be out of the country.
It's already the... I got it. It's the Mark Dixon podcast.
Maybe Aburn can step in. The other Dan can step in.
Yeah. We'll look around. We'll see what our options are. What are you going to do if you come back and then the podcast studio is locked and you can't get back in? And I'm in here doing it and I won't let you in because I'm just becoming...
I'll just go back to my desk happily.
Oh, really? Yeah. Happily, huh?
Happily, yeah. No, we're going to... it stops on like 3 islands, 2 in the Bahamas, like Nassau and Freeport. And then
great.
They have their own. And what's cool?
You, the wife and kids?
And in-laws.
Oh, my goodness. Is this a fantastic Flynn family vacation?
It is. Well, we tried to
all
do this
96
like
of you
18 months ago, and Hurricane Matthew hit in October of 2016, and we got rerouted, and we went north to New York City,
okay,
which is where my brother-in-law lives. So he took off work to go to a cruise
to go
his
right
hometown.
Back home.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
It was pretty much a disaster.
That
and
sucks.
Then we were supposed to go up the coast, like into Canada, and hit some of the islands up there just for sightseeing. But it's completely different than, so, you know, they let you know a night in advance, so you have to completely repack all your stuff. A lot of people who traveled far to get here could not repack, so they were just miserable the whole time.
I can imagine.
And a lot of people also left, and you could get a discount and a refund. What's cool is it leaves out of Baltimore, though.
Mm-hmm.
So one of my favorite parts is just coming in and out of the Baltimore City and the Chesapeake Bay and seeing the sights from the water side. It was pretty cool.
That's great.
But we're doing a redo on this same cruise, and I'm hoping the weather's a lot better.
Is this like did you get like a refund from the previous or any type of
the Carnival Cruise Line? Not a sponsor, so I don't want to talk too much about them.
Gotcha.
But they were very generous.
That's good.
With some things that they did while you're on the cruise, some discounted stuff and some credits, and then 50% off your next cruise as long as you do it in the next 2 years, which
Look
is what
that.
We're
all right.
doing. So.
Yeah, last tropical place we went to. First of all, safe travels.
Thanks, man.
Hope it goes well.
Thank you.
Raise my Trimino to you. We went to St. John over the summer, and really glad we did it because St. John was decimated by the hurricanes this past fall. So really, really glad that we were able to get
one
out
of
there.
My good buddies, his mom and dad were just down there.
Mm-hmm. Recently?
Last week.
I mean, they're still, you can still go in, and there's still cruises that, that dock there and all that, but it's
they couldn't stay where they normally stay.
Yeah.
They go every February.
Okay.
They had to stay somewhere else on a different part of the island, which part of it still doesn't have power
right.
and some other things.
Oh, it won't. It'll be months before power is restored.
But they had a great time, as good. Usual. It's beautiful down there.
It is. Gorgeous.
So the new Maverick Media poll came out. Villanova, who we talked about, has a couple of really good wins, is the biggest mover. They've slid up all the way to number 7. So the top 10 is Loyola at number 10, Army, Notre Dame, Nova at 7, Virginia at 6, Ohio State, Denver, Maryland. Albany slides up to number 2 after their big win. Duke stays number 1.
And you just did the Casey Kasem where you went 10 to 1, right? You didn't go 1 to 10.
Exactly.
Just making sure.
Yeah, you're paying attention, right? You're listening.
Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars. Yeah, so my top 10, and shout out to my friend Tom Huttman from 24/7 Lax and coach with Tom on the Rough Riders, sent me a spreadsheet to keep track.
After last week.
He heard about your displeasure with my
well, it was just funny
keeping track.
Watching you.
I still didn't use the spreadsheet. I got it written on the back of a business card right now. But starting with number 1.
I want to know what's on the other side of that business card.
It's my name.
Oh, it's your business card.
What's the matter with you?
I thought it was for like a free Chipotle burrito.
What did you say? Free guitar lessons?
Free guitar lessons.
Yeah.
Costanza's wallet.
My wallet. Well, that's why I sit higher on my one side because yeah. A wallet's so full of things of that nature. But, all right, you want me to start 10 to 1 or 1 to 10?
Let's go from 10 to 1.
All right, 10, Carolina, 9, Yale, 8, Villanova, 7, Virginia, 6, Army, 5, Ohio State, 4, Denver, 3, Albany, 2, Maryland, number 1, Duke.
Okay, so you don't have Loyola in.
Loyola I have at number 12.
And
Notre Dame I have at number 11.
Okay, so you have Carolina and Yale in there. So Yale had fallen out of the...
I do, and I put Carolina up in the preseason around, they were like 9 or 10.
You know, it's funny, like I don't have a vote in this, but...
Good thing.
Nova moves up 10 spots because of their incredible win over Yale, who was number 5.
Right.
In overtime. So
blazing
if you think,
up the
if
charts.
If you think,
the Villanova Wildcats with 10-9 in overtime.
But if you think Villanova's the number 7 team, and they win in overtime to the team you was number 5,
yeah.
And they completely fall out of the top 10.
Right. Well, that's the way lacrosse voters are. Yeah. It's what have you done for me lately? And you jump up. I try to stay relatively reasonable.
It was their first time out. Villanova's played
right.
a game and had a week off. And
right. So, yeah, I don't get too – and it's February, so you don't get too excited – I didn't move Denver at all. I think I had Denver at 4 last week, maybe 3, so they dropped like one spot. You know, Albany moved up. I mean, there's a – Duke is playing good lacrosse right now, and even though Maryland gave up 14 goals at High Point, I don't see a reason to leapfrog Albany over Maryland at this juncture of the season. And we'll figure that out real quick. March 10th, College Park, Albany versus Maryland, Big Ten Network, televising that one live.
Sideline swap. Let's talk about them, Dix. Sideline swap is where lacrosse players buy and sell their gear. You can shop heads, helmets, shafts, and gloves up to 70% off or snag hard-to-find college gear. And all purchases are backed by Sideline Swap's buyer guarantee. Head to sidelineswap.com. That's SIDELINESWAP.com. Or download their iPhone app today. Sideline Swap. .com. All right, Dix. Our new segment, Listener Questions.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we got some doozies.
Oh, boy.
We got some doozies that made me laugh out loud.
Really?
So we're not going to play all of them, but we'll take a couple of the better ones. And please, these are our listeners. Call in with your rant, comments, questions when you're watching the games. We love them. If it's one of the best ones we get, we'll put it on the air, and then we'll talk about it.
So the ones that came in this week, you will put them on the air.
Yeah. So what I'll do is I'll cut the audio up. I'll drop them in.
Great.
And then we'll talk about them.
When will it drop?
Tomorrow. So the number to call is 443-595-7020. 443-595-7020. Call us. Give us your thoughts. And be sure to leave your name and where you're calling from as well. That is helpful. So our first call is from Dino from Essex.
Hey, Esau and Dixon. This is Dino from Essex. I got a whole bunch of questions about the Charles Street rivalry. I was at the Ridley Athletic Complex, and I'm heartbroken. I mean, my Blue Jays, 12-5 losers. Come on. Hon, like, I'm going to call Barry Blazer to get a lawsuit on that. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, I thought Shaq Stamick was going to carry us. Well, Foster Huggins, 7 call turnovers. Oh, man, that's crazy. So I just want to get your thoughts on the game. Thank you. Dino from Essex. Bye, hon.
Dino from Essex, who was, as you heard, was at the Loyola Hopkins game. He's driving home back to Essex, and he wants to know what happened to the Blue Jays offense, and Loyola's defense was so good that we should call Barry Glazer.
Barry Glazer of diner fame, right?
Yeah, so Barry...
Didn't he used to own the merry-go-round? Is that him? No, that's Boogie. That was Boogie Wineglass. Who's Barry Glazer?
Barry Glazer is the attorney that has the TV commercials. Like, if you've been injured in an auto accident...
I thought that was Stephen L. Miles.
Well, he's on there, too.
And P. Paul Kokoris. Remember?
Barry Glazer Law Firm. I got a question for you. Why do attorneys put their photo on their business card?
Speaking
of business cards. And same with real estate people. They're the only people who put their face on a billboard or on their business card. Like, you need... Like, either you're supposed to... see their face and be like, yeah, that's a trustworthy.
Well, maybe. So real estate, I would say, maybe if you're meeting a realtor for the first time, especially alone.
Craig Northrup.
In a house. Or
maybe that's it.
You know, they can match a face with a name kind of thing.
Phil Dunphy.
Oh, what's the guy's? Lucido. Bob Lucido.
Oh, yeah.
Out there. Yeah, he's big.
He's a legend in Howard County.
He is. Craig Northrup. I've never met the guy. I mean, he's obviously very successful.
I bought my townhouse like 15 years ago.
The Northrop team took care of you?
He was the seller's agent.
Oh, and was that a good experience?
Yeah, but I was just surprised that he was there because he's got the Northrop team. And there's like 150.
So you're like, this is a big time negotiation. Yeah. What were you more surprised at? The fact that he was there for that negotiation or the fact that he spells his name C-R-E-I-G?
Yeah, well, he's a loafers with no socks kind of guy.
I gotcha. Okay.
So you know what I'm talking about. All right.
I've never seen the name Craig spell that name as first name, like C-R-E-I-G.
But he's good at selling houses.
To each his own. Yeah. To each his own.
So why is that? Why do you think? Is it trust factor or something? I just think it's funny that no other industry does that, yet it's so prevalent in those two industries.
Attorneys, honestly, I've never seen anybody's picture on a business card for an attorney. I don't know what kind of attorney
Stephen L. Miles.
Well, I mean, but they're like TV guys. They're TV guys. So. I mean, so, well, when you make the call from the jail and the bail bondsman has to come, he can hand you, you know, he's like, here's who, you know, when you've had too much to drink in Fell's Point,
call,
you get
what
a little
is it,
out of hand.
What is the bail bonds? The pen?
The pink, boy, something boys.
The pink and yellow pens.
Pink and yellow.
Everywhere.
And they are the cheapest pens imaginable. I don't even know.
But no matter where you went in Baltimore.
Big boys. Big boys? Is it bail big boys, bail bonds, or something like that?
Everywhere you went, there was one of those pens. You'd go to like sign a receipt at a sushi place, and there'd be the bail bonds
pen. Bail bonds
pen. Or anywhere. It didn't matter where you go. The bank. The bank teller would have that.
But let's get to the caller, Dino from Essex.
Yeah, so what do you have for Dino?
The biggest thing that I can see right now is Hopkins doesn't have an offensive leader. They don't have somebody when the stakes are down or stakes are high, I should say.
An alpha.
They just don't. Who's the go-to guy on Hopkins' offense?
They don't have an alpha dog.
Who, coming out of a timeout, you need a goal, who are you giving the ball to?
I think it's Tinney, but he does a lot of other things.
He does.
And he's not on the field all the time.
Right.
But I think he's the guy. But usually it's like an attackman who's that guy.
Right. And I don't know, no one has really, like when you look at Loyola, Pat Spencer is the clear leader of that offense. When you look around at other teams in the country, you know, Duke, Justin Gutterding is your guy.
You mentioned Ben Reeves earlier.
Ben Reeves for Yale is the guy. Albany.
Ethan Walker appears to be the guy for Denver.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that's a terrible thing, but I just, from the first couple of games, and it's hard. I mean, they dominated Towson. But what Towson did to what they did to Towson, taking advantage of turnovers, Loyola did to Hopkins.
That's true.
So look, I just think they had a really, really bad day. But if you're looking for things on the offensive end, who's the leader? Who's your number one guy that's gonna you know, carry you through tough times?
All right, Dix, here's our second caller. A call from Milwaukee. Oh. Let's listen to the call.
Hey, DeFi and Dixie, love the podcast. I'm in a little bit of a humorous situation this weekend. I'm a huge lacrosse fan and going to be in Milwaukee on Saturday. So, of course, I'd love to go to the Marquette-Jacksonville game, but I'm going to be attending an anime convention with my girlfriend, which isn't really my thing, but, you know, sometimes you got to do stuff for love, right? Anyways, my question would be to get your opinion on how you guys think Marquette lacrosse might do this season. Joe Amplo seems to have the ship going in the right direction. Anyways, thanks so much. Bye.
All right, Dix, you want to take that call? Why are you laughing?
First of all, man, hats off. Anime convention. Good for you.
Well, he only went because his lady said, you know, hey, this is what we're doing after Valentine's Day.
Like he said, you know, the things you do for love. But I guess Comic-Con had already left town.
Milwaukee's got an anime convention?
Milwaukee's no joke, man. I mean, come on.
He drove down to Chicago for that, right?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
Maybe to Madison. Milwaukee has an anime convention. I'm always shocked that like Baltimore has stuff like that.
Milwaukee has a professional baseball team and a professional basketball team.
Sure.
What's the matter with you?
I don't know. It just doesn't seem like an anime type of place.
I guess you'd be surprised.
I am.
Okay.
Okay. Well, so let's get on to the question. He wants to know about the Marquettes.
What is anime? Is that like cartoons and stuff?
It's Japanese cartoons.
Okay. All right.
You know, there's a certain style.
Voltron?
I don't know the names of any of them, but it's like a style of cartoon.
Okay, gotcha. Understood.
So his question is about Marquette. He says that Joe Amplo seems to have them rolling in the right direction. What are the prospects for their season?
Yeah, you can't discount what Marquette has done the last couple of years, and they've played their way into the NCAA tournament, and both times they've beaten Denver. So we're sitting here in February. You look at the Big East. Denver's the favorite. Villanova has two really big wins under their belt, Penn State and Yale, two NCAA tournament teams.
Georgetown's got a couple wins. They look like they are.
George, if you let me get there, this is the Mark Dixon show. You're supposed to allow me some space to move around. Georgetown looks much improved, and they have some nice wins. And I think they're bigger and more athletic than they have been the last couple of years. So, I mean, right off the bat, you're taking those three teams and saying, okay, where does Marquette fit in? You know, Marquette sits at one win, 1-0, beat Jacksonville in Milwaukee this past weekend, 11-10. Jacksonville's shown a little bit of teeth, beating Navy to open up their season. I think Marquette is a work in progress. You know, they lost some keys from last year. They're a team that's always had to cobble together goals to be competitive offensively, but you hit the nail right on the head. Joe Amplo's done a great job. He's a guy that was mentioned for the Princeton opening a couple of years ago. He's one of those, anytime a vacancy comes open, Joe Amplo is on the short list of candidates to potentially move to that program. I would argue that Sean Adelin is the other guy. And their teams are very, very similar. Built on defense, scratch out wins, very disciplined, and this Marquette team is no different. It's just, I think the Big East is stronger in the early season than they have been in the past, and that might be a challenge for Marquette in 2018. But again, I probably may have said the same thing. Well, I probably wouldn't have said the same thing in terms of Villanova and Georgetown last year. It's always been Denver, but Marquette's taken out the Pioneers in the last two Big East tournaments.
All right. So, again, thanks for your calls. We want to make this a regular feature. Keep calling in with your messages.
Please do.
And these are our listeners. So, again, the number for your rants, comments, questions, 443-595-7020. And be sure to leave your name and where you're calling from. All right. Some games to watch this week. Not comparative to last weekend.
It's not as much of a marquee weekend.
Yeah, not. But there's still some important games. Number 14 Johns Hopkins at hosts number 12 North Carolina. That's the 5 p.m. Friday happy hour lacrosse game on ESPNU. we talked about this a little bit
before. Yeah, not desperation, but both teams need to play for urgency.
And both teams need to show some intensity that they haven't shown in their last couple of
games. Well, and they got to cut down on mistakes. Hopkins has to cut down on mistakes, and they've got to have somebody emerge offensively. North Carolina has to play better defense. So this could be a really high-scoring game, especially if Hopkins can dictate the tempo and control things. So it should be a very entertaining game on Friday.
Number 18, Princeton at number 6, Virginia. We haven't talked much about Princeton.
No, and they had to use double overtime to beat Monmouth. Michael Sowers is the headliner on offense. Austin Sims, a really good midfielder. But, you know, some of the luster may be taken off this game a little bit just because of their struggle against Monmouth. But, you know, again, we talked about this in the past. It's week to week, especially in the early season.
Matchups count.
Big time. But I'm excited for this game because it's been a few years since Princeton and Virginia have played each other. They used to be regular. When Tierney was at Princeton as well as Starship, Virginia, and now it looks like the resumption of this rivalry. And I think that one of the questions is, how does Princeton deal with the athleticism of Virginia and the speed of Virginia, and how will they match up on their midfielders? And they're going to have to get good goaltending.
Another game to watch this weekend is number one Duke travels up to Philadelphia to play Penn. Penn's got a big week. They play Maryland in the midweek tomorrow. You mentioned that one. They coming off a win over Michigan, and they got to play a couple of top three teams this week. We'll see what the Quakers are made of.
Well, they're going to catch a break if the weather forecast holds. It's supposed to be record-breaking temperatures in the Baltimore area tomorrow, close to 75 degrees. And then you've got, you know, very bad road trip, not a huge road trip. Just travel down 95 a couple hours, and you're here. And then you get Duke at home. So, you know, Penn is a team that won in their first game, and a lot of other Ivy teams that were favored did not. So Simon Mathias had a nice game, 3 goals. McGeary was 4 goals and an assist. Interesting goalie situation. Alex DeMarco started against Michigan and was relieved by Reed Junkin after the first quarter. And I think Junkin has some health issues. That's what prevented him from starting the game. So I think he's the stronger of the two keepers, and I would be surprised if he doesn't start tomorrow against Maryland, or today against Maryland now. So we'll see. But that's going to be a really, really good game. Again, how do you stop Gutterding? How do you stop, Conley? How do you stop that Duke offense? But we'll get a much better sense of what Penn is about after their game with Maryland.
We mentioned Georgetown. They're off to a good start. They just sit right outside the top 20. In the Maverick media poll, and they'll host, they will go to Towson, play number 19 Tigers on Saturday.
Yeah, so Georgetown's been scoring some goals and getting things done. Towson, I don't know if we talked about it or not, but Maryland allowed 14 goals to High Point this past weekend, the highest goal total that the Terps have allowed in the regular season since 2015 when Hopkins beat them 15-12. Yeah. Towson gave up 13 goals to Mount St. Mary's, so that's But they found their scoring touch, which wasn't there for much of the game against Johns Hopkins. So I expect a physical game. I expect a low-scoring game. And this is a big one for both of them. You know, Towson defending CAA champs, national semifinalists a year ago. You know, Georgetown's trying to establish themselves as one of those premier programs. And what better way to take down a Towson team at Towson?
And final, our fifth game is two top 20 teams in a matchup. Army West Point, number 9, goes to number 16, Syracuse, in the Dome.
Yeah, so when's the last time Syracuse, second week in a row, they're underdogs on their home field in the Carrier Dome? And if there's one team that's given them fits in the Dome over the last few years, it is Army. And most notably, which was the first round of the NCAA tournament a few years back. But on paper, this Army team is better, and they have more experience. You know, David Sims and Ted Glesner are really, really good players, and I think Ragno at the faceoff is winning in the mid-60s. I think he's at like 66-65%, and they're limiting him. He's only taken about 38 faceoffs so far this year because he also plays a little bit short stick D midi for them. So faceoffs advantage Army, and then discipline advantage Army, and those are two areas. Syracuse 5 out of 22 against Albany for faceoffs, and then 6 penalties against the Danes. So Syracuse has to win faceoffs, and they have to stay out of the penalty box to have any chance of winning this game.
All right, Mark, it's time for our give and go. Mm-hmm. So did you watch any of the NBA All-Star festivities this weekend? You're laughing.
I watched a little bit of the game. It's just The NBA to me has just become kind of a farce with, you know, you can kind of dictate who's on your team or where you want to play and that kind of thing. Like, that's like, you know, you're playing for the red team. And I'm like, I want to play for the red team because Dan Flynn's on the red team.
It feels more than some of the other pro leagues to me that it's more entertainment than sports. And this All-Star game really emphasized that for me.
Yeah.
So I was sitting at home watching.
I watched probably 3-4 minutes of it.
I had some family friends over the house and watching it with a guy who is definitely an NBA fan. And we're watching all the festivities while our kids are running around.
Did he wear his Allen Iverson throwback Sixers jersey?
No, this guy would probably be a Wizards fan.
Okay.
He's a Baltimore guy.
You have his Agent Zero shirt on then? Gilbert Arenas?
Agent Zero. I have my friend Brian. This is his favorite. He loved Gilbert.
You love
so
Gilbert Arenas?
So much. You want to talk a different guy, but like my friend Brian thought Agent Zero.
You
want to
talk about a guy that dropped off the face of the NBA earth. That guy was an all-star, hitting game winners, buzzer beaters, and then remember he got into an altercation in his locker room with guns?
Cards over a card game.
It was guns. And after that, it was like Agent Zero was ground zero. But go ahead.
So the pregame show especially was this Kevin Hart thing. Kevin Hart was everywhere this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
For a guy
And this is after him trying to get on stage at the Super Bowl. When the Eagles
for a guy who's already overexposed, he was completely... He's got to control his profile a little bit. But
right.
They had this crazy pregame show with him dreaming that he was going to be an NBA player and some of the things that he had to do with. It was like three different musical acts with Pharrell Williams, the guy who's in Pitch Perfect, and he was on Modern Family. Andy,
oh, I know that guy.
The man,
he's
Andy
funny.
The Manny.
He's funny.
But he was singing some song. I don't know what it was going on. And then another guy came out, and then they introduced the players. And then the Bare Naked Ladies came out to sing the Canadian National Anthem.
I remember those guys.
They were, again, I'd like to sound down.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me.
Yeah, I love the Bare Naked Ladies. Yeah. But they were unrecognizable. I didn't know who they were. They don't look like they used to look.
I don't even remember what they look like, to be honest with you.
Well, then you certainly wouldn't recognize them.
There you go.
But they didn't do a poor job. They sang their own national anthem very well. But then Fergie from the Black Eyed Peas came out to sing the Star Spangled Banner, and it was atrocious.
I didn't see it live, but I did watch it on YouTube. And listen, it's a free country. You can sing the national anthem any which way you like. I can remember being a kid. Remember Marvin Gaye sang the national anthem?
Some people say it's the best rendition ever.
Back then, people didn't think it was amazing.
Uh-huh.
People thought it was disrespectful because he put his own spin, funk style into it. And this was not an age of Twitter, Instagram, all the social media, but I remember it being on, you know, coming up on Eyewitness News, Marvin Gaye and the national anthem or whatever. Like, it was a story. People did not appreciate the way Marvin Gaye sang that national anthem back then. I'm not saying...
No one's going to appreciate the way Fergie
sang. I'm not saying 25, 30 years from now, people are going to be like, wow, Fergie was really groundbreaking singing that
It reminded anthem. Me of when Marilyn Monroe sang Happy Birthday to President Kennedy.
You know what?
That's sexy Happy Birthday.
Yeah.
That's what you tried to do to the anthem, and it was... It was terrible.
Well,
so so
the funniest thing for me was they were panning to the players, and the players either had a look of WTF or like Draymond Green was actually laughing. But what got me was at the end when she hit like a super high note, and then she was like, let's play some basketball. I totally expected it to be like, just like Fast Times at Ridgemont High was like, we're going to go cream those guys, right? And then a paper airplane just whistles by because there's dead silence. I totally expected people to just be horrified.
I think they clapped that it was just over. So I don't understand. They had to have some serious dress rehearsals for that whole show. How did someone not say, like,
at some point,
we can't do this?
Yeah.
Like, Adam Silver just walks through the gym and says, like, we NBA Commissioner Adams. So like, we can't, this can't happen.
That's like when you have the buddy who
else is available. I mean, they're in LA. They really do have like their choice of talent to pick for this thing that people would do it. And it very easily for them to get there. They had to have better options. Or maybe someone else canceled after the dress rehearsal and they were like, well, Fergie's available.
Well, maybe, but I mean,
It was terrible, Dick.
Is Fergie still a thing? Is she? I mean, she's Black Eyed Peas. Doesn't she have? She has a solo career, right?
Yes.
Does Fergie have the kind of stroke that says, "Yeah, my client. You know, if you're the agent, yeah, my client will do this. No dress rehearsal, and she will not submit a tape. She will just come in and perform the national anthem on the day of the event." Like, do you think it's something like that? Like, in other words, she doesn't have to show off her dress rehearsal. She doesn't have to do sound check.
No.
Whatever she wants to do is what she's going to do.
No, this wasn't like a regular Lakers game. This is the NBA.
I know.
I mean,
but is she big enough? Is
star-studded Kevin Hart, Rob Riggle.
Is she? Now, Rob Riggle.
Pharrell.
Rob Riggle sucks.
But I'm just saying.
He is not funny.
It's not the kind of thing and where I did you not didn't want to be there to hang out with the other
wait
people,
a second.
Other
you just wait a second. When you put Rob Riggle with Pharrell
with Kevin Hart.
And Kevin Hart.
That's what I'm saying. It was
like,
terrible.
Kevin Hart and Pharrell Williams are superstars. I consider Rob Riggle to be like a. I mean, he's the dummy on the hotel. Like, he's. I know he's supposed to be the
Catalina
fight, but
wine
not,
mixer.
But now he's good in those movies. Now, in those movies, as a secondary role, the buddy or the jerky friend, he's the guy. When he's prime time, Dumb and Dumber 2 sucked a lot because he was in it. And I really enjoy the fact that he got run over by a train. His character got run over by a train in that film. But I don't know what to tell you. I'm not a fan of the national anthem. I'm not a fan of Rob Riggle.
Whoa.
I'm sorry. Oh, my God. No, wait a minute. Let's walk yes. that back.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of Fergie's version of the national anthem. My bad. I'm not a fan of Rob Riggle. And Kevin Hart, yeah, he's...
You'd have people taking a knee during our podcast if you didn't correct yourself.
Oh,
there.
No. You know, I didn't see the manic behavior as you're describing it of Kevin Hart, but you know what you're telling me reminds me of Robin Williams. And I don't know if it's... And I see, when Robin Williams would do stand-up, I thought he was brilliant. But when he would show up at things, award shows, other type, and just be off the charts... That to me wasn't funny. I didn't laugh at that. And then you come to find out. And then you come to find out.
Substance abuse.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You come to find out that he had mental issues and some other demons and things of that nature. I'm not suggesting Kevin Hart has that, but the behavior you're describing reminds me of the way Robin Williams used to be.
So, to the give and go. I was going to, because he was.
I thought that was the give and go.
Ubiquitous. He was everywhere this weekend. I was going to do favorite Kevin Hart movies. So I went on IMDb,
right.
Looked up his career. I couldn't find two movies that I even liked.
Yeah, he's...
Is a lot of the same character. Basically,
right.
He's the same guy. And a lot of movies that I haven't seen because I know that they were terrible.
Yeah.
And they get, you know, they're rotten on Rotten Tomatoes.
I'd have to go with Wedding Ringer would be my only Kevin Hart movie.
I didn't even
that
see
I
that one.
Yeah, it was not bad. It's not terrible.
So
it's not great.
I couldn't do that one.
Okay.
So then I said, well, what else? You know, I'm on the thing of movies, and I'm like, well, Black Panther came out this
weekend. Oh, my gosh, huge.
Oh, my, huge. So I went to see a different movie yesterday because my wife was like, I don't want to see Black Panther.
What did you see?
I saw Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing.
What is that?
It was a fantastic movie.
Oh, my God.
Fantastic.
Artsy,
great performances.
Artsy guy.
No, not really. It sounds like it. I didn't. But then I read what it was, and I said, I'll go. Definitely go see
we
it.
We watched a movie last night called The Snowman.
And Frosty?
No, it's not, but it's...
Was there a magic, like you put a hat on his head and he starts singing and dancing?
No,
oh, okay.
It wasn't that. Not that kind
was
of snowman.
Was it anime?
It's Michael, it's not anime. No, it's Japanese subtitles, but it was filmed in Oslo, Norway.
Like Speed Racer.
Speed Racer, the movie, is actually really good. I love Speed Racer movie. Did you ever see that?
No, I didn't.
It was good.
I couldn't.
It's good. Well, my kids were younger when I watched it, but I still really enjoyed it.
I used to love that stuff.
I never liked the cartoon. I thought the cartoon sucked.
Chim Chim.
Chim Chim. Yeah, Chim Chim. You got a little Chim Chim in you.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But The Snowman is like a crime detective kind of movie. Michael Fassbender starred in it.
I like him.
And you know who was in it? Val Kilmer.
Ooh.
Val Kilmer looks like he is 300 years old.
I thought he was hanging out with Agent Zero.
He can barely speak because he's got like these, I don't know, like dental work or something. But he was in the movie, Val Kilmer. He is a far cry from...
Your Huckleberry.
Oh, my God. That's one of my favorite movies of all time, Tombstone. That is great. Doc Holliday. That's one of his best roles ever. I know a lot of people liked him in... what was he? He was in Top Gun. Val Kilmer,
yeah,
right?
He was. He was Iceman.
He's Iceman. There you go. But yeah,
Weird
Doc.
Science? Was that him?
No, he was in another like goofy science movie. Well, he would also play Jim Morrison in The Doors.
Yeah, he was. He was good in that. Very good in that.
One. Yeah. So right. Okay, what's the give it a go?
Your favorite superhero movie in honor of Black Panther.
Okay.
So I'll give you
go,
my three
you go
first. I'm big on like the big ones, and I love the origin story like the first time.
Okay.
My favorite part of those is when the person learns that they have powers. And they're discovering it, and then they show them off. Perfect example, like Tobey Maguire in the Spider-Man, where he's like wakes up and he's feeling like different, and then he's running, he's shooting webs and learning how to use it, and he's jumping off the rooftops and stuff like that. All right, so the original Superman with Christopher Reeves, Gene Hackman, old movie.
Oh my God.
I love that movie. That was
really
so good. Yeah.
Okay.
So good. Batman, the original Batman. With Michael Keaton.
Adam West.
Bam. Pow.
Yeah, exactly.
No, the movie with Michael Keaton and Jack Nicholson as the Joker.
Yeah.
I think it came out in like 1989.
Yep.
And this is a toss-up. I do like that Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, the original one, the first of the new Spider-Man movies.
Okay.
But Wonder Woman. Did you see that movie?
I did see Wonder Woman, yeah.
It was great. And then Gal Gadot.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, do you like,
to,
you like Wonder Woman?
Take your eye off of her.
The woman did wonders for you in that outfit.
She's unbelievable.
You like that, huh?
She is a beauty.
She is a very attractive actress.
She's a great actress.
She is, yeah. She's been in other things, too.
Yeah, she's good.
All right, so you got
original Superman, original Batman.
Original Superman.
Kind of original Spider-Man and the original Wonder Woman.
I got you. All right. I like the updated superhero stuff, because when you go back and watch those Supermans and the Batmans, like when Jack Nicholson is a Joker, though,
special effects that now
exactly
just...
but the Jack Nicholson's Joker was actually pretty sick. That was a good character. But like when he lets the gas off with the floats and things, and it's like, you know,
it's kind of corny. But it was supposed to, it was sort of emerging between the old corny like Adam West stuff.
Yeah, I got you. All right, so I like it a little bit more modern. So I'm going to go Dark Knight is my favorite. The Christian Bale Batman with the Heath Ledger Joker.
Yeah.
Off the charts.
Heath Ledger playing a Joker.
Off the charts. Let me show you a trick. Boom. I mean, that was with the pencil.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. I never was a fan, though, of Christian Bale. And I love Christian Bale as an actor. He is fantastic. And my wife loves him as well. But the voice of everybody gets real deep. Like, I'm like, okay, that's a little much. But other than that, you know, the movie is awesome. Dark Knight, number one. I really do like the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. My favorite one of that series is Spider-Man 2 with Doc Ock. I think the actor's name is Molina. Alfred Molina plays Doc Ock, and I thought that was awesome. The only thing that I didn't like about the Spider-Man movies, I'm not a huge Kirsten Dunst fan. And so, like, with her being, is that Mary Jane?
Mary
Jane Parker. Mm-hmm. It was okay.
Mary Jane Johnson.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, Peter Parker.
MJ.
So what do I got? Dark Knight.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man 2. And then having kids during the time of a lot of these evolution of the superhero movies, I think the first Avengers movie was really good.
What superheroes are in that?
So that's Thor, Iron Man, Captain America, Hulk, Fury. Samuel Jackson was the guy who gets them all together. Yeah. Black Widow, Scarlett Johansson's character. So those, the Avengers, the first Avengers movie.
I don't. Iron Man was great.
Iron Man is good.
It was really cool.
That story is great.
Yeah. How he gets his powers. I always loved The Incredible Hulk, and I've never liked any of the Hulk movies. Like, I just never felt like they were that.
I didn't like those either, especially when Eric Bana was the Hulk. Those movies stunk.
You know what? It's coming out this year that I'm really excited for. Aquaman. I always loved Aquaman. He was one of my favorite superheroes.
Is that Vince Chase? Vince Chase is Aquaman.
Vinny Chase is playing.
Vinny Chase?
No, it's Jason Momoa.
What?
Dude named Jason Momoa, who's just a jacked actor, who was in Game of Thrones. It was probably his most famous role.
I haven't seen Game of Thrones yet, so.
He was Khal Drogo.
Okay. I thought you were going to say Peter Dinklage is playing Aquaman.
No, he was in that Three Billboards movie yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'd see the movie. I'd see that just because of him.
He was good in it. But it's Frances McDormand and Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, yeah. I love Woody Harrelson.
And Sam Rockwell.
I like Sam Rockwell, too.
It was good. You will,
Sam Rockwell makes a lot of the off-the-beaten-path kind of films.
Yeah, he's crazy in this movie.
Now, Frances McDormand has become kind of like a real salty older lady, right? She was from Fargo.
Yeah.
Is she
the kid follows the band around.
Almost Famous.
Yes. Yeah. She was the mom and Almost. Okay. So my wife said that. We got in the car to drive home from the movie theater. She's like, man, Frances McDormand, she's so good. I said, yeah, she is. She's mastered the role of the mom who doesn't have to wear makeup. Gotcha. I swear she doesn't wear makeup in any of the movies because she's always looked kind of old. And
I thought I saw some publicity of her at the award shows, like just being, she's really angry these days or kind of unhappy.
Maybe. Well, that's the way her character was.
Okay, so maybe it was a misrepresentation of her
as a person. I don't
know if
she's like that as a person.
You know what's interesting? You know what's interesting along those lines? So I don't know if you've seen the movie The Big Sick, but that's a really good movie.
I've heard that it's a great movie.
But Holly Hunter plays a mom role in that one, and she's really good. And then Ray Romano is the dad. So, really, like, you're like, wow. And I never watched Everybody Loves Raymond, but my kids grew up on Ice Age. So, Manny the Mammoth, you know, Ray Romano.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, so it's interesting watching. So, good. All right, cool.
All right, so just to recap, yours were?
Dark Knight, Spider-Man 2, and the Avengers.
And the Avengers.
That was the most current Avengers. And that was when Loki, the evil brother of Thor, was trying to take over the world.
Yeah, he's good.
Loki's good. Tom Hiddleston is that actor. He's good.
So this Black Panther is supposed to be unbelievable. I can't wait to go see it.
It made almost...
It's going to be one of the top five, if not the top three,
grossing
first weekends ever for any movie.
Right.
Which is great. All right, that's our show. If you like what you heard, please subscribe, leave a rating on iTunes or wherever you get this from. And share it with a friend. Also, don't forget to check out our other podcasts here at Inside Lacrosse. We drop a new one every weekday during the season. If you want to reach out to us, you can get us at Dix on Twitter, at Dixon Lacrosse. You can get me at D_Fly, or send me an email at dflynn@insidelacrosse.com. That's it for this week. Enjoy the games.